We're going to sing the chorus. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow trees, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shout praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees, for the Lord our God has set us free, and we shout praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand praise this morning. Glory to God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Well, as I said moments ago, I don't even know how to express what I feel this morning. I feel an urgency that I've never felt before. I realize that we have been preaching about the coming of the Lord for a long time. And we know that He will return very soon. I am looking forward to that day. You know, the voice of the church is, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. We look for His coming. But I'll tell you, it'll be different than any of you are thinking it will be. You know, the prophet Isaiah cried out one time and said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. I don't know, it seems like people today want to be patted on the back like the pretty good people. And I'll tell you this, the best of the people in the world today are rotten to the core.
Amen.
The fact is, we all need Jesus Christ. We all need His salvation. Nobody is saved without the blood of Jesus. Nobody's saved with a church membership. Nobody. We need the Lord personally in our lives at all times. And I look at the signs of the times. In fact, that's what we're going to call this message this morning, The Signs Revisited. We're going to go back and look at them again. I know we've read them many times, we've heard it preached many times, but we're going to really bear down today and see what's going on and where we're at. I believe with all my heart that the Lord is about to appear. Amen. I really believe it. I don't know if I'll see you next Sunday or even Wednesday. Nothing has to happen anymore before He returns. You know, you get these so-called professors of religion, and they'll say, well, now, this has to happen, and then that. He can't come until this happens, or until that happens. The Word of God tells me, and the Apostle Paul preached it, that the coming of the Lord is imminent. Could be any time. Everything that was prophesied to happen has already happened. And the few remaining prophecies, see, prophecy is something that a lot of people don't understand. It has an overlapping effect. Prophecy happens again and again and again. Wars, plural, and rumors of war. Pestilences, plural. This is an ongoing course of the age. These prophecies are fulfilled, but they crescendo, they build toward the end. When you see them build up to a crescendo, you know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. We can't know the day, nor can we know the hour. But He told us to watch. And if He told us to watch, there must be something to see. It would stand to reason, would it not? Well, what we're going to do, first of all, is open our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Romans 9. And I would like to ask for the Lord's help with this, so I'm going to call upon Him right now in prayer. And I can't do this without His help, and neither can you hear. He'll give us ears to hear. And He'll bring forth His word. And Satan cannot hinder it because it is the business of God. It's His work. Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly come before Thee. We approach Thy holy throne, O God, asking that Thou would stretch forth Thy hand now and touch our souls, touch our hearts. Open us, Lord, to receive Thy word. I pray, O God, that we would be greatly moved in faith to be drawn closer to Thee, so that we could magnify Thy name and worship Thee and stand true as Thy witnesses in the last days. Knowing that Thy coming is nigh at hand, we're greatly shaken. O Lord, we are brought closer to Thee. And I pray now that Thy word would not only be dear to our hearts, but also that we would live within Thy word, and that Thy word would shine forth from us. O God, I pray that Thou wouldst lead and guide and direct us now as Thy children, as Thy people. Let Thy perfect and holy will be done. Let Thy name be exalted and glorified. Give us ears to hear. And, O Lord, lead us in the way everlasting. Help us to be ready for the sounding of that great trumpet. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Well, I have no doubt the Lord loves us. And where would we be without that love of God? In Romans chapter 9, we're going down to verse 25 to begin with. And here the Apostle Paul says, as he saith also in O.C., which is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people. Hey, that's you and I. Amen. That excites me. The people of God. How could we possibly qualify? Well, He worked it out for us, didn't He? Certainly we don't qualify through any religion. It's a matter of heart. Which were not my people. And it goes on and says, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth. He didn't just speak it out, he cried out. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Not very many. Okay? A remnant. Now here we see a very peculiar portion of Scripture in that it should intrigue us. It's something that should really grab your interest. For He will finish the work. Notice, God's going to finish it. He's the author and the finisher of your faith personally. But He says, for He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. There are those who think that this is dragging on and on and on. When will the Lord ever come? And it seems to take forever. Hey, it's going to be quicker than you think. When things begin to move as they are now, it won't be long. Because, as the Bible says, surely I come quickly. Very quickly. The twinkling of an eye. People aren't anticipating it for the most part. How many people in this world really and truly are looking for the Lord to come? They get up in the morning wondering if He'll come that day. How many of all the billions of people? How many so-called Christians? You see, there's so many distractions, so many plans, so many things to do. But folks, it's all going to be over pretty soon. Right now in Washington, D.C., it's a hotbed of spiritual bacteria. They are running around like mad people trying to get this health care thing through. In fact, Nazi Pelosi, you know why I call her that? Did you see a picture of her when she first took that that position. She stood there with a black bullwhip in her hand. I've got the picture. She said, "I'm the most powerful woman in the United States." Held that bullwhip up. That's not exactly a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Right? There's something really drastically wrong there. Well, she made a statement yesterday. She said, "We have got to pass this bill so we can see what's in it." Now, how can any thinking person rationalize that? Pass the bill to see what's in it? They know what's in it, all right. And they've got abortion in it, and they've got end-of-life things in it where they can knock you off early to save their Social Security. They got all kinds of things in there, over 2,000 pages of goodies in there. No, it's conspiratorial. It's been most of it behind closed doors. And then Nancy Pelosi said, "It's going to pass whether we vote on it or not." There's another dandy for you. Hostile takeover. If you think we're far from a dictatorship, think again. Barack Obama said, "I'm going to use executive orders." And Rahm Emanuel said, "We're reviewing them right now. How to use the executive orders. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer." It happened over there. It's happening here. People don't get the picture. Most of the people in Germany didn't really understand what was going on while it was going on as Der Führer rose to power. And all of a sudden, there he was, and it's too late. And that man sitting in the White House doesn't even belong there. Evidence is overwhelming now that he was born in Kenya. But anyway, beside all that, he's there. The damage is being done. But we are living in a time right now where the signs are everywhere, all around us, that the Lord is coming very soon. We'll look at those signs momentarily, but let's finish this thought first. Notice he says, "He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness." That was verse 28 of Romans 9. "Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Boy, when this thing gets going, it's going to surprise everybody. "As a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth," it tells us. But anyway, he goes on and says, "And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah." God would have torched this place a long time ago if it wasn't for the remnant that's here. This country, boy, I'll tell you what, they're going to get theirs. Notice, I live here. I was born here. I've had people tell me, "Hey, if you don't like it here, why don't you get out?" And I tell them, "No, you get out. I was here first." It's a younger generation thinks, "Hey, we've all changed it now. It's going to get better. We're going to fix everything." But all of this is going the same direction toward hell. And yes, there are a lot of problems, just like the Lord said there would be. The entire scenario is opening up to fit Bible prophecy like a hand in a glove. Everything is happening the way the Lord said it would happen 2,000 years ago. And this Bible is more accurate than tomorrow's newspaper. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, do we have that? Are there any little fairies and pansy boys running around out there? How about these Butch Dyke lesbians? Huh? Got any of them running around? Hey, they get preferred status with the government. Seriously, they get extra preference points when they apply for jobs. Did you know the federal government gives an extra 5 points on a test? And I had a government official tell me this from HUD. He said they give an extra 5 points if you have a sex change operation. Now, how does that affect job performance. Everything has gone completely insane. Everybody knows something is wrong, but most people can't pinpoint it. I'll tell you what it is. It's not global warming, it's global sinning. And we are in a lot of trouble because people do not repent. When people repent, God turns things around. And even if others don't, He'll turn it around for you. Now, yes, we could be like Sodom. We could be like Gomorrah, meaning torched. Fire and brimstone coming down. Now, we've got the same God, and we've got the same conditions. You know, they have these big parades, the Mardi Gras time. They had a queer Mardi Gras this year. Isn't that a dandy little deal, huh? What could be uglier than that? And then all over the world at different times, different cities, they have these gay pride parades. See, what I'm doing right now is illegal. I'm not supposed to speak against them because if one of you got mad because of what I said and went out and punched somebody's lights out that was queer, they could come against me for inciting you to do it. And I'm not doing that. I'm saying they need to repent. So don't knock their nose off. Pray for them. Witness to them. Tell them they're evil. Just like anybody else. Well, what's wrong with that anyway? Over in San Francisco there, they have these queer parades. And San Diego, they have one every year. Big homosexual parade. Talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And where do they start their parade? They line it all up on a street called Normal Street. Normal Street. Well, anyway. So yes, we could be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord didn't have a very high opinion of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was nothing left when He finished with it. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. How could that happen? Even the righteousness which is of faith. You see, we're saved by faith, by the grace of God, because of what Jesus did for us. We put our faith in His sacrifice. He honors that faith. He saves our souls. But Israel, which followed not after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? A word that means why. Because they sought it not by faith. That tells us something. Everything we seek God for, we have to do it by faith. We have to really believe results are coming, that now it's in God's hands. It's going to be all right. But as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. So, He's saying that people who should have received didn't, and those who were outsiders were brought in. That's the power of the gospel. But the whole point of this particular portion of Scripture is that God will make a quick work. He will cut it short. Short! Quicker than you think. Let's go back into Scripture now for a little bit. I want to go back to, first of all, Matthew chapter 24. You probably thought I would go there, and you're right. And in that first verse of Matthew 24, it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. It was a magnificent structure, you know. Glistening white stone up on the hill. Beautiful. In fact, the Judaic Pharisees. There are two kinds of Pharisees, Judaic and Hellenic. The Judaic Pharisees believed that you had to have a temple to be saved. Without the temple, the world would immediately end. The Hellenic Pharisees believed you could, in synagogue worship, you could have little synagogues all over the place, and that was as good as having a temple. And of course, they were, the Hellenic means the under the influence of the Grecian culture. So, here the disciples are, and they're pointing out to Jesus, Almighty God, manifested in the flesh. They're trying to impress God by saying, look at this temple. I really don't think God was too impressed. Because, yes, they were the work of men's hands, all these buildings, but the true temple was now there. And that is Jesus Christ. The one who said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. There's the true temple. Amen. And we still pray toward that temple, and God hears us. Verse 2 says, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Now he points it out to them. Look, yes, look at it all. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This is going to be leveled. Not a popular message. The temple's going to be leveled. Torn down? The house of God? Well, Jesus had already pronounced it desolate, remember? Because of the abomination of desolation. Abomination. Something that offends God. Of desolation, that makes desolate. Now, what abomination did Israel continually commit that made them desolate? People have wondered about this. What is the abomination of desolation? What did Israel keep doing over and over and over again that made them desolate? They kept killing the prophets. Read it in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus said, I've sent prophets unto you, and some of them ye killed and did all kinds of awful things to them and so forth. That made them desolate. The rejection of the word of God in favor of their own system. An abomination, something abominable that made them desolate. Well, how does that apply to today? Yeah, people reject, one of the ways you reject the Word of God is have a whole bunch of Bibles and think they're all Bibles. God wrote one book. The faith was once delivered unto the saints, not delivered and revised and delivered and revised and once delivered! And you go back to those original texts, the Masoretic text of the Old Testament, the Hebrew. And you go into the Textus Receptus, taken from the writings of Antioch, where they were first called Christians, in the Koine Greek. And you translate that, and you come up with a King James Bible. That's what God gave us, and it works. Some people say, well, yeah, I was saved under the teaching of the King James Bible, but we need something else now. Oh, it was good enough to save you, but now you got to have something else. Huh? People are so used to a variety of things, but God only has one way, one true church, many false churches, one true Bible, many false Bibles. Everything that's true is singular. Everything that is false is always plural. There's a whole myriad of things that are false. But with truth, it's singular. It's always one, just as there is one God. That's not hard to understand, is it? Jesus. Hallelujah. No. So, here they are, and they're in front of this. Oh, by the way, here's another thing that'll make people desolate in a hurry. There's an abomination that churches commit that make them desolate. Actually, there's a number of them. One of the biggest ones is when they sign up with a government for a 501c3 status. Amen. They sign that little green card. I think it's green. They've been after me to do it, and I won't do it. To sign that little paper, You then become an extension of the government through religion. You cannot speak against homosexuality. You cannot speak against abortion. You cannot say anything political, or they can come after you and yank your status and throw all kinds of penalties on you. And these churches will always put a flag in the church, an American flag in the church, sometimes a so-called Christian flag on the other side. And I'll tell you what, let them fly the American flag over Washington, over Madison, over public buildings. I have no problem with that. But keep it out of here. It doesn't represent the kingdom of God. It represents the United States. And that you put that there, standing, it says in Mark, the book of Mark, standing where it ought not. It ought not stand in the sanctuary of God. In that temple, before it was desolate, they didn't bring the Roman flag in there, did they? See, these are the things that will bring desolation upon a church, upon a people. They'll be void of the Spirit. Nothing will kill a church quicker than signing up with the government. You see, what it is I'll tell you what happens. These churches preach so much baloney that it's got to be government inspected. You go to the store, the baloney you buy at the store, if you buy it, and you shouldn't, it's bad stuff. But anyway, it's another topic. It says U.S. government inspected. Well, so is the baloney coming out of the churches. No wonder they got to sign up for inspection, huh? No, they got no business there. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about our headquarters in heaven. And what I see going on right now in our nation, and this at one time, I'll tell you, one time we had integrity here. We had character here. But that bunch of goofballs in Washington right now are really speeding up the disaster that is waiting to happen. So, well, yeah, that's right. Antichrist forces come forth. I had somebody tell me recently, they said, you shouldn't criticize the government because you should not speak against the king. Well, if that's the case, then this country doesn't deserve to exist because this country rebelled against King George. We got no right to be here. We need to be colonies. Well, they're thinking we need to all go back and be colonies. You ready for that one? Well, no, they have other plans for you. They have other plans. There's an Antichrist rising up. I'm still shaking my head over that comment. We got to pass this health bill so we can see what's in it. I just can hardly fathom anybody saying anything that dumb. I think she's had way too much cocaine. I got a picture of Nazi Pelosi and Harry Reid, the deadhead. He's got Grateful Dead posters all over his bathroom. Reporters went in talking to him. He was showing them around the house. Grateful Dead. Jerry Garcia. Come on! This guy's going to run the country? Barney Frank, the little pansy boy, little handkerchief peeking out of his sleeve, huh? That's what I heard. Where do you begin with something like this? Do you realize how close we are for everything just implode? Now the banks have come out, the Federal Reserve has come out with this thing. By the end of this month, all banks in the United States, when you deposit money, not just checks now, including cash. It used to be with checks, yeah, they would wait till the check clears, they'd hold your transaction. You could put cash in there, and you don't have access to it for 7 days. Now, I got a notice from the bank on it. Now, what does that mean? What does that tell me? The banks are broke. They're absolutely broke. Right now, nearly two-thirds of the gross domestic product are held by 6 banks. That's a lot of power. And all the smaller banks are cannon fodder. They're going to go. They're expecting the
Committee on Oversight for the banking said they're expecting 3,000 banks to fail this year. Now, the Federal Reserve, I should say the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, has approximately a 1% reserve to cover the losses. What they're looking at is a devaluation of the U.S. dollar by 50%. You mean it can happen here in the United States? We're the good guys. Nothing bad should ever happen to us. We're the role models, right? Sin is sin no matter where. And the world is full of sin. I'll tell you, we are looking at major events soon to come. This year. And we need to seek the Lord. Now, if this is stirring anybody up, and I hope it is, read my next newsletter. It's going to be mailed out hopefully on Thursday. And there's a lot of material in there that I hope will rattle your foundation. We need to get a hold of God now. And He will help us. He died on the cross for us, our Lord Jesus Christ, showing His love for us. But He needs to, we need to allow Him to wake us up to the present reality. The things that He said would happen, folks, this is it. We're down to the wire. It had to happen to somebody, and it happens to be us. I have no doubt. I've been watching it for 29 years, diligently, and I've never seen it like this before. So the Lord Jesus said to them, look at the buildings. Now they showed it to Him. Now He's commenting, okay, yeah, just look. It's all going to be thrown down. Verse 3, and as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? Three questions. Kind of a compound question there, but really they're asking three things. Because in their mind, the destruction of the temple would be simultaneous with the end of the world. They didn't understand. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Number one caution, watch out that no man deceive you. Do we have any deceivers out there? And they're getting rich on deception. Deception sells. They put them on television. They put them all over the place. If they're deceptive enough, they get a spot on TV. All right? And He says, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now you can look at that two ways. You can either say, well, okay, here's a guy coming out saying, I am Christ. That's pretty blatant blasphemy and deception, isn't it? Or they can step out and try to say, by promoting their other things, their other agenda, but they will say, okay, yeah, Jesus is Christ. When you read this, you can look at that both ways, saying, I am Christ. But either way, you've got the things going on. Kenneth Copeland standing up in front of a massive audience saying, if I had lived back in the days of Jesus, I could have died for your sins. And nobody make a comment? Where's the pile of rocks? Let's get this guy. That's what they would have done in the Old Testament. We can't do that now. We've got to put up with these guys till the Lord does it. Flies around in his jet planes and basks in wealth and money. Some of these evangelist solid gold toilets. Huh? I wonder if Kohler made those. I'm going to tell you this right now. Nobody needs a gold toilet. 24 karat, whatever. The Japanese made one now where you can sit on the thing and they'll tell you how much you weigh. They say, good morning, your current weight is, and then, you know. Talking toilet. Well, anyway. So Jesus went on and said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, we don't have any of that, do we? We got a man who won the Nobel Peace Prize for doing absolutely nothing. And when he gave a speech to receive the Peace Prize, he said, I am the first man ever to receive a Peace Prize while supervising two wars. By peace he shall destroy many. You see, this man fits the profile of Antichrist perfectly. If he's not the Antichrist, he'll certainly do till the real one comes along. But he does fit the profile. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So the end doesn't come with a war, it comes with false peace. People are going to accept this guy. Not everybody. But many will. Strangely enough, you know, Barack Obama is so popular overseas. Here a lot of people are catching on because he keeps hammering us with all these programs that are destroying our country. But overseas they all think he's awesome and wonderful. The big guy that's going to change it all. Remember what he said in his campaign speech? When I'm elected, the oceans are all going to recede. Everything's going to level off. The whole climate is going to change. How do you like the change of the climate? Earthquakes? Yeah. Since he's been elected, we've had more earthquakes than we've ever had before. I'll illustrate something for you in a moment. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. Do you realize right now that there are over 1 billion people starving to death on our planet? Does that number mean anything to you? A billion? We hear the number, we don't think much of a billion. We don't really extrapolate that out in our mind. What does a billion look like? Can you picture a billion of anything? Take a billion stick matches and lay them side by side, not end on end, side by side. Start in New York City in Manhattan, go across the country, and less than a billion reaches all the way to Los Angeles, California. Now, Duke, you're a truck driver. You drive those big rigs. Think of all that road, all that laying those little matches down there, huh? That's not even 1 billion, and they spend that much in 10 seconds. But 1 billion people are starving to death. Famines. Oh, another thing they're doing for famines, they got this genetically engineered, genetically modified food, you know, where they mix this up in a laboratory. When I worked at the University of Wisconsin, we ran into this. I talked to some of the professors there, and of course, they were real proud of their genetically modified plants. One was growing a tomato plant that had the genetics of a Drosophila in it, a fruit fly. If I want to eat a tomato, I'll eat a tomato. I want any fruit fly DNA in there. Who needs it? But they do all kinds of crazy things like that. Bigger yield. First they did it with soybeans, then the corn. And now they're doing it with all kinds. Now it's the corn syrup is everywhere. They're killing people off right and left. Well, that's one way to save on retirement, Social Security payouts, right? Bump them off early. Fill up the hospitals. We got a lot of hospitals to fill up. You got those big hospitals. You got to keep the... Think of the logistics of it. Think of the economics of it. Now, I'm not a very intelligent man. I don't have a big number of degrees. I have a degree in business administration marketing. But I can tell you, it is a matter of marketing. You build a big hospital, and you don't fill it up. You got to make the people sick to get them in there, right? You have to have a market. And to make that market, all you have to do is dose the people. You might say, oh, who would be so vile? Hey, we're dealing with a dirty bunch. They've never given us a reason to trust them. They're poisoning our water. They're poisoning our air. Now, all this fluoride coming in, you know, they put the fluoride in the water so you can't think straight. Interrupts your thought processes. Oh, it's good for your teeth. Oh, yeah, you have a nice set of choppers as you lay in the coffin, right? Make sure the old undertaker, old rain in the face, props your mouth open so you see your teeth. It's a fluoride smile, right? They're getting this fluoride in, and now they said the majority of it's coming from red China. Well, they don't say red anymore, but it's still red, so we'll call it what it is. And they're finding high levels of arsenic and lead in with the fluoride, and they're adding it to the water. Oh, what's a little arsenic and lead, huh? Residual poisons that build up in the body to kill you off. There's so many examples of this. Now, I guarantee you won't hear a sermon like this in the other churches in town. I don't know why. They should all be preaching it. But what I'm telling you is absolutely true. And if you think about it and study it and look at it, you'll know it's true. We all know something is drastically wrong. And I want to leave this with you. Only God can help you. Only God. Don't put your trust in anything else. Don't join anything. Don't affiliate with anything. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him come in and do a work. Amen. Praise the Lord. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Divers means diverse, various. All over the world, not all in one spot. I looked on the IRIS seismic monitor, U.S. Geological Survey. As of this morning, 715 earthquakes above magnitude 4. That's a significant quake. Anything above 4 is considered a significant quake. Some of them are very significant, like in Haiti, like in Chile. And what does Chile mean? The word Chile means where the earth ends. Threw our planet out of kilter, accelerated the rotation of the earth. And we're in a very delicate balance here, folks. If you've ever studied astronomy, it's a very delicate balance. Earthquakes in diverse places. Are we having any of those? Let's see once here. I need to have them. Do something really different for you today. I'm kind of preaching and teaching at the same time. Maybe they call that treaching. I'm going to have Brother Timothy, Duane, and Mike. You want to come up and help me with something? I hope the tape holds together. Anyway, I know you can't see this from here, but these are the earthquakes. And by the way, they are moving around the Pacific Rim, up through South America, into Central America, and now they're moving up toward the United States, the western, I should say the left coast. Okay? Now, I printed out the earthquakes in the past 30 days, and I'm doing this for effect. I hope the tape holds out. You want to take one end of this? Tim, we need somebody kind of in the middle, maybe Mike, if you can do that. Hope the tape holds on. I might need another yet here. Somebody else wants to give me a hand? I've never seen it like this before. Last 30 days. Okay, yeah, there we are. Okay, kind of stand, if you can flip it over and kind of stand behind it so they can see what's going on here. There's your earthquakes magnitude 4 and above in the past 30 days. The earth is literally vibrating and shaking. These fault lines are moving together. You know, if you took a baseball and you look at where the stitches are, it looks like the stitches are coming out. And this thing is just literally unraveling. Earthquakes in diverse places. Case in point, I read it in the scripture. When you've got 715 earthquakes of that magnitude in 30 days, I used to see this as 200. I'd see 235. I've seen 325. We skipped 400s. We went into the 500s, jumped into the 600s. Now we're in the 700s. Okay? Just get a good look at it. That is kind of where we're at. And the United States is going to get hit next. The left coast. They know it. They've already said the fault lines are such that, in fact, over by Oregon and Washington, from Seattle to Portland, they have an identical situation that existed just before the quake in Chile. What is it going to take to wake people up and say, okay, we better stop this pornography, we better stop this drugs, we better let the alcohol alone, we better just reach out to God. People need to reach out to the Lord. That'll put things back together. When you really repent and get right with God, that'll save a marriage. If everybody cooperates with the Lord, then you've got harmony. Nothing else works. It takes the miracle of God, the touch of the Lord, and He will do it. So the Lord said, when you see these things, well, let's read and see what He tells us here. So He said there'd be earthquakes in divers places. In verse 8, He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. You're at the front end of it with all that. That's how bad the tribulation is. When all this is just the front end. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations. Why? For my name's sake. You see, we're hated, why? For the name of Jesus. That is the point of contention. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Love literally evaporates, deteriorates, and people are cold-hearted. Do we have any cold-hearted people running around out there? Even within families, cold hearts, resentment for each other. Only God can change that. And it says, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. I've had people tell me sometimes, well, I'm saved. Are you saved? You need to get saved. Oh, I know what you mean, and you mean well, but nobody's saved till they get there. Right. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You see, that's why we work out this salvation in harmony with God, with fear and trembling. We lay it all before Him. It's time to get serious with the Almighty. Because time is running out rapidly. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, it has reached throughout the world. It already has. So it could be any time. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And as Mark said, standing where it ought not. Again, keep the pollution out of the church. We don't need rock bands banging away on drums and all kinds of loud noise like that. We need to have a beautiful worship of God. The devil's always trying to put things in that don't belong. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Now this portion actually happened already back in 70 AD when the Romans surrounded the city. When Cestius came in and surrounded Jerusalem and then left for some reason, nobody knows why. And all the Christians left the city, about 60,000 of them it's estimated. And then Titus came in, surrounded it again. Now the Christians were gone. The Lord said, when you see the armies, get out of there. So they did. Isn't the Lord wonderful? And they went up into an area called Petra, where they were taken care of by the power of God, sustained. And the city of Jerusalem was flattened. The temple was burned down, destroyed. Rocks were ripped apart. The Roman soldiers went in, they burned that temple. They burned the cedars of Lebanon that were the woodworks of the temple. And the gold and the silver in that building melted and ran between the rocks. And so they went in with crowbars and they took those rocks apart to get that gold and silver out until the prophecy was fulfilled that there wasn't one stone left upon another. So this did happen. So he said, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Well, actually, I think I might have skipped a verse here. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. In other words, they needed to get out in a hurry, and they did. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So when the Roman armies came in, they brought that devastation with them. But what are we facing? This part has already happened. But he said, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And that holds true right now. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. If somebody says, hey, he's in the Oval Office, don't believe it. Anybody have a problem with that? Huh? Or any of these other big places. You know, this is really something. Barack Obama goes to a prayer breakfast the beginning of February. And at the prayer breakfast, he honors a homosexual leader, gave him a tribute and honored him. And this homosexual leader said that God is a homophobic bigot who needs to repent for causing the gay community so much grief for 4,000 years. At Obama's prayer breakfast, that sounds antichrist to me. Then you get to the end of the month, and he invites the atheist communities to come together. The White House sponsored this with your tax dollars, including one of the atheist leaders who wrote a book entitled God is Not Great. I don't like what they do with our money. You see, these are the times that'll try your soul. And these are foretold abominations that make desolate. So, the Lord made it very clear. These days will be shortened. And we're not to believe if somebody says, okay, he's here or he's there. Don't believe it. Because when he comes, it'll be like lightning. You know what's interesting about that? He says, the lightning shineth out of the east even to the west. Kind of interesting, because lightning doesn't do that. It shines from it starts in the west, moves to the east. So what's he talking about in this prophecy? Isn't it amazing we got a man sitting in the Oval Office who came from the east, and his name means lightning? You think there might be a little connection there somewhere? There, you know, it makes me just want to call out to God. I'm not worried. I'm not fearful. My biggest burden that I'm carrying is, how can I get this message across to people where they'll take it seriously and do something about it? Where they can find their knees and get down and call out to God. Because the power will come down. God will not turn you away if you call out to Him. But it's got to be with a whole heart. You got to mean it with everything that's in you. I've got about 10 minutes left. I'm going to see if we can do this. So, many false Christs, if they say lo here and there, don't believe it. And by the way, that includes a Catholic priest. Catholic priest will stand there and he'll take his... Of course, he's got his big chalice of wine. And that's not grape juice, folks. That's hooch. That's got alcohol in it. And anybody who would drink that much alcohol in a high mass would be feeling single and seeing double. He's got that. And he's got the bread that he takes out. And he lifts that bread up. You've seen it, haven't you? Some of you have seen pictures of it at least. Any former Catholics here? Yeah. Hold the bread up, and he'll say those magic words, hoc est corpus meum, Latin, from which you get the words hocus pocus. Hoc est corpus meum. And he'll break the bread, and he'll start handing it out. And he'll say, body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Here is Christ. There is Christ. Body of Christ. Believe it not! It's phony. Some nun baked it in some nun's bakery. We don't want none of that. Anyway, praise the Lord. So he said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, notice they're so deceptive, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But you cannot deceive the elect. If you can relate to what I'm saying today, and you can see this for what it is, then thank God for you, because that's a very good sign you're the elect. If this sounds strange and foreign to you, my suggestion is to pray about it and let God show you. I hope I'm saying outrageous things that'll shake you up. I love it when people research it and then find it. I get letters all the time. People say, I used to read your newsletter and I thought you were nuts. You know? And now they write back and say, now we want it, because these things are all happening. It's happening all the time. 10 years ago, oh, you're crazy, that'll never happen. Now they write back, would you send me your newsletter? One woman sent me a letter, had a $10 check in it. And I thought, well, she can't be mad at me if she wouldn't send me a check. Open it up, she said, I hate your newsletter. She said, but keep sending it, because I know it's true. Well, she made a point. So the word of God says, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. It's an old Hebrew idiom. It actually means like where there's fire, there's fire. When you see these signs, you know something's going on here. Look for the signs. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, a lot of people are looking for a pre-trib rapture. They're going to fly out of here before anything happens. That's why they don't care about prophecy. They think we're just going to all be raptured out of here. So who cares? We don't have to carry that responsibility. We don't have anything to worry about. We're all going to be lifted, airlifted right out. But notice, it says immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Folks, this is just dead ahead. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. That's you and I, folks. You got angels coming after you. From the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. God knows your name. It's recorded in a book. He's sending the angels out to get you.
Praise the Lord.
And now he goes on and he tells us, of course, we're to learn the parable of the fig tree. And in Luke, he says all the trees. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh. If you can tell by the trees what the season is. He says, so likewise ye, when ye see, shall see these all these things, know that it is near. That's what he wants us to know. It's near. That's all we have to know. That's enough to get us ready. Even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What generation? The generation that sees these signs. We're seeing them. This is it. We are the last generation on earth. I know that's hard to fathom, but we are. This is it. Those right now that are alive, we're at the tail end of this thing. Time is running out. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. An interesting statement by Jesus, isn't it? No man can know the day or the hour? Then how in the world did Jack Van Impe find out? How did he find that out? How about Harold Camping? How did he find out? They didn't. Nobody knows, but we need to know it's near. That's what we need to know. But as it was in the days of Noah, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came. That's when they're going to know. When it hits and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We could go on and on with this, but we're about out of time. And here I thought we could hit on Mark 13. I thought we could probably get into Luke 17. I thought we could get into Luke 21. I will say this. because I need to. In Luke 21:25, we are told, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations." Is there any of that? "With perplexity." That word perplexity comes from the Greek word aporia, which means unable to find a way out. No way out! That's the world, but we have a way out. "The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things," watch now, "begin." Have they begun? We're well into it. "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." There we have it. So much more could be said, but I think enough was said. I hope enough was said to rattle our foundation. What we need to do this morning is call upon the Lord. Don't be in a hurry to rush out the door. The world is out there waiting for you. Sure enough. But right now the presence of God is here to encourage you, to strengthen you, to bless you, to heal you, to fill you with His Spirit. And I'm going to open this entire auditorium up for prayer. If you want to come forward, there's a lot of room up here. A great place to be is on your knees before the Lord. And right now, if there's anyone who wants to come forward, just come and pray. We're going to move into prayer. We'll probably have a little music and maybe even a song or two as we do this, but we're moving into prayer right now. Folks, it's at hand. And when time ends, that's it. We're ready or we're not ready. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. I could go on. I could preach for hours on this subject. There's so much more to tell. Look at the signs. Look all around you. Look at the world news. Look at the national news. Look at our country crumbling as it is. You might say, they're going to put it together with what? Whatever they can do. Any distractions. No, they want to keep your mind off from it. You see, if you start thinking that the Lord's coming, you start thinking the end is near, you might repent. And if you repent, God will save you. So all these distractions are out there. Hollywood is out there. The television programs are out there. The world of sports, to keep people busy. Yes, and scandals all over the place, you know, to intrigue your interest. Some guy in Walmart got on the telephone and said, one of these stores said, "All black people leave the store." That's the big news now. It's a prank, you know. Hey, we got bigger problems than that. The fact is, while I'm speaking, and by the way, today is, and I'm the Lord saved me out of occultism, and I can tell you, I've watched the government, they always pass these bills on a witch's Sabbath. Today is a witch's Sabbath. Every time, and I've watched this time and time and time again, there's 8 witches Sabbaths in a year. And so what day do they pick? How about when Bush went in and attacked Iraq for the first time? He attacked on the witches Sabbath of Astarte. And then he said, the shock and awe was over. He said, "We won the war." Remember, he flew into the USS Abraham Lincoln? He didn't really fly that plane in, you know. There was a real pilot in there. Bush tried to land it, I think, 7 or 8 times and flubbed it. Finally, the pilot brought it in for him. And he was wearing a military uniform, which a president is proscribed from doing. According to law, a president cannot put on a military uniform while he is president. Did you know that? Dictators do that. The president of the United States cannot wear a military uniform. But he did anyway. I can't even picture Obama in one. I couldn't picture him in a Boy Scout uniform. But anyway. So May 1st, he said, the shock and awe was over. We won the war on May 1st. Beltane, the Druid Witches' Sabbath. These people run on occultism. They are Antichrist. Shouldn't surprise us. Again, I've watched this for 29 years. Now, enough of all of that. Let's get down to business with God. Let's open our hearts. I'm talking to you from my heart today. I really don't know how to get this message across. I do know this, before you walk out those doors, you need to have a talk with the Savior. There's plenty of room up here for anyone who wants to come right now. We run out of room here. You can pray where you are, but pray. Come on. God bless you. Call upon Him. That's right. Come and be blessed in Jesus' name. Let the power of God come down. Hallelujah.